Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I am Daniel Moglione. I'm your host for another edition of for the NFL Draft Digest. I was just about to say College Football Insiders Radio. It's so programmed in my head. And with me today is NFL Draft Bible Draft Guru, Justin Van Helpen. Hey, Justin, how you doing today?
Good, Dan. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. Excited for a little draft talk. I know some people might think, hey, it's September. What do you mean draft talk? The draft is until April. Well, folks, you know, the draft is a year-round process. You know what I mean? It starts actually, it starts before the season, but it gets really hot and heavy during the season. So we're going to be talking about a lot of the players, how well they're doing, who's going up, who's going down, some key matchups for this week's games. So let's start right there. There's a big game tonight, Justin, SEC game. We don't get that a lot in college football. Thursday night, SEC, number 4 in the country, Ole Miss, taking on South Carolina. There's a lot of players we could talk about. You know, you got Greg Hardy coming back from an injury. From what I hear, I spoke to Kentrell Lockett, his teammate, a couple days ago. He said Greg looks good in practice and they expect him to be a major contributor. On the other side, South Carolina's got Mr. Eric Norwood, who declared for last year's draft and the last second decided to come back. And, of course, the big story is Jevin Snead, who is a junior, but you never know, could end up declaring just as Mark Sanchez did here in New York and just as Matthew Stafford did in Detroit where Justin is. So, Justin, with this game, where do you want to start?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is Jevin Snead. I mean, that's the biggest question mark because when we look at the senior quarterback prospects, I know a lot of people, you know, love Tim Tebow and what he's been able to accomplish in his 4 years there at Florida, but really he's not a guy who you're going to say is a surefire first-round pick, franchise-type quarterback. You know, teams that I've talked with, you know, some you know, don't even have him as a quarterback prospect, have him more as an H-back, a guy who's going to have to switch a position, more of a wildcat guy. You know, some teams are looking at him as, you know, as a quarterback, but not as a guy who's a first-round pick. You know, Jevin Snead is probably the hottest, you know, junior quarterback, you know, in this, you know, 2010, you know, possibly 2011 draft class with him being a junior. But the biggest question mark is his completion percentage. He's never really completed over 56% of his passes. Right now he's at 56%. He's, you know, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 384 yards in his first 2 games. So not stellar numbers, you know, as a guy who you would think of being that, you know, a first-round type pick and in that quarterback class of a Matthew Stafford or Mark Sanchez who decided to declare early, but he definitely has some time. He's definitely got the most hype of any junior quarterback of being a first-round quarterback draft pick.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. I'm a big Jevin Snead fan myself. This year, you know, like you said, he's still got to show improvement. I mean, that first game against Memphis, he was really, really shaky for about 2-3 quarters, and if he plays that way tonight, I think Ole Miss could be in trouble. He's going to have to play better than that, but he definitely has a lot of talent and a lot of pro potential. And as you said, you know, it's kind of funny now that Ole Miss is playing South Carolina. They were talking about that today because obviously Steve Spurrier was the only one that had Snead on the ballot number 1 originally, and everybody made, you know, God forbid anybody is better at anything than Tim Tebow is in the college football world. People lose their minds. So, but yeah, you know, people are stunned when, you know, a lot of draft people like Snead better than Tebow. But, you know, I agree. I think Snead is up there. How about the defensive guys? You know, talk about Greg Hardy, what kind of defensive end he's going to be. He's the big kid. He's shown pass rushing ability. I think he's been a little too inconsistent in his career. That's something that he needs to work on. And then on the other side, I brought up his name earlier, Eric Norwood, a guy that started his career as a defensive end, moved to outside linebacker. Seems to have a nose for the football, always making big plays.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Norwood is a guy who, like you said, declared and then decided to come back. And I think it was a good move for him because, I mean, he's had a great year. So, you know, already have 4 sacks, interceptions, 17 tackles, and a guy who's really kind of moving himself up the draft board. You know, talking with a lot of NFL scouts and you know, looking, you know, watching the film on him, he's really made a, you know, a good progression in his ability from his junior to senior season, where the guy was probably a third-round pick last year, and he's moving up as a guy who could potentially be a first-round draft pick at the linebacker position, because we see a guy who, like him, with his ability and for his versatility a lot to play in a lot of different schemes, both the 3-4 and the 4-3, and that's what they're looking for at the NFL level, is a guy who's a versatile linebacker who can do a lot of different things, and that's what Norwood can do. You know, on the other hand, Greg Hardy, you know, he was a guy who, if he would have come out last year, probably would have been, you know, the first or second defensive end taken off the board. He's, you know, come back and been nicked for the first two games, didn't play in last week's game there, was a guy who is a pass rusher specialist and who can get off the ball, has great quickness, a guy who, you know, can, as far as flip the hips and get going on a pass rush, you know, side of the football, has got some counter moves, and it's not just a speed rusher, but has some power, has some strength there, and is a guy who, you know, if he can stay healthy, you know, he'll get back to that first round, you know, potential ability. But the biggest question mark is, can he stay healthy? And he's got to show that tonight against South Carolina.
Yeah, I think this is a chance, you know, a showcase game for all these guys, you know, not just for fans, but for NFL people, you know, standalone game. Everybody gets to focus on this game and watch this game. How about some guys that maybe aren't, you know, necessarily the marquee names, the big guys, guys that are projected as potential first-rounders? You know, a couple of guys that I kind of like on South Carolina, a safety like Chris Culliver, their tight end Saunders, a real big kid. You know, he's definitely not in the mold of Cook, who declared and left early, who's, you know, a phenomenal athlete and almost like a hybrid wide receiver tight end. Saunders is a pure 100% tight end.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who can, as far as got a good inline blocker, a guy who can, you know, as far as do both. I mean, not just a guy who's going to run pass routes, but he can do both. And that's what, you know, NFL teams look for, especially when they're talking about a backup and a second tight end, when they're bringing back in there for it to be a run specialist. If he's got some hands and got some ability, that really puts up the value of those tight ends as far as when we're talking about, you know, next level type things. If you can block, you've always got a position there at the, you know, tight end position at the NFL level. Then as far as catching the football is a bonus when you're that second tight end, as far as that's what the NFL teams look for there. One thing, a guy who I really like, as far as he's not in the ability to be drafted because he's an underclassman, is the Garcia, the quarterback there with South Carolina. I think we've seen a lot of hit from him going on and improving from his freshman to sophomore year, and we'll see how he can continue down the road. I mean, he wasn't a guy who was highly touted at being a, you know, potential NFL guy, but I think he's worked himself, you know, there with Steve Spurrier and his help there. I think Garcia could be a definitely guy here in the next couple of years to be somebody we'll be talking about.
Yeah, I think he's made a decent amount of progress from last season to this season, and that's key. As important as what you do today, I think coaches and scouts love to see that, one, you put in the work time, and two, you can actually absorb the coaching and get better. That's critical, because no matter how talented you are stepping into the NFL, even a number one overall pick needs to work on his game and get better once he gets to the next level. If he can't do that, that raw talent they're starting with doesn't really matter. One more guy before we leave this game that's kind of intriguing, the little guy, Dexter McCluster, an Ole Miss, only 5'8", only a buck 65, very versatile kid. You know, leading returning receiver, leading returning rusher. They can line up in the backfield, in the slot, at wide receiver, even in the Wildcat formation. Does he have any chance to play at the next level?
I think definitely. I think, you know, the size doesn't necessarily matter, because we've seen what Darren Sproles been able to do with San Diego and being that versatile guy. And with him, he could be a return guy, can be a slot receiver, can be, you know, he's got to get stronger, and that's what he's going to be, you know, needs to improve on, is get his upper body strength, you know, because he's got the speed, he's got the wheels, he's got, as far as a playmaking ability, but he just needs to show that he's got some upper body strength. And, you know, I think with him, he'll get an opportunity to play in an all-star game and get to, you know, as far as some of that pro coaching and be able to show what he can do, because he's got to get a little better on his run and his routes. You know, as far as being able to come in and out of his breaks and different things like that, sometimes he uses his overall athletic ability, you know, and be able to make plays, and that doesn't necessarily know how to, you know, really run those crisp routes, and that's what he's going to be asked to do at the next level, because he's going to be a slot guy, going to be a return guy, going to be a guy that's going to use in special situations, and he needs to be consistent, you know, play in and play out if he's going to play that slot receiver position.
All right, let's move on to the marquee game on Saturday, which is the 8 o'clock game, Iowa against Penn State in Happy Valley. And I think this is a really, really interesting game in terms of that injury issue, you know, the thing you talked about with Hardy, and it's not just guys showing they're healthy. I think, you know, something that rarely gets talked about when we talk about potential and you know, prospects and that type of thing in the draft is, how does a guy play when he's at 80%? How does a guy play when he's not fully healthy? Because the reality is that's going to be a decent portion of a lot of people's NFL careers. You know, I look at a guy like a Curtis Martin that played here in New York, was never the fastest guy, the biggest guy, but he was able to kind of play well even when he wasn't 100%. So I think a couple of key guys on Penn State that are going to be in that situation, you got Sean Lee, who left last week with a sprain in his knee, and he's probable for the game. And Navarro Bowman, who had a groin injury in the opener, hasn't played since then. He's also expected to play. What do you think of those two linebackers moving on to the next level? Sean Lee obviously is a guy that would have been in last year's draft had he not had that major ACL injury prior to last season.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Lee is a guy who, you know, I think his stock has dropped a little bit just because of the injury and the question mark that he has. Because when he, you know, after his junior season, I mean, this was a guy that a lot of people were talking about as a potential first day type guy, just a guy who was, you know, as far as outstanding overall linebacker, could play inside, could play outside. A lot of people compared him, you know, a better athlete than Paul Polesny, you know, as far as the old Penn State linebacker. And really, I mean, he's got to show that he can stay healthy and play through some injuries and play through some pain and be able to do that. And I think he will be able to, you know, show that and show as well, because he's an outstanding athlete. We've seen what he's been able to do in the past. Now we've got to make sure, okay, hey, the injury hasn't taken the toll on him, and he'll be able to continue to do that week in, week out, because I think he's a guy, he's right now, he's probably still in that third, fourth round, but he's a guy who can consistently move up and be a really good NFL outside linebacker.
And, you know, I know he's an underclassman, he's a junior. How about Navarro Bowman, a little more athletic than Sean Lee? What do you think his chances are?
Well, you know, he's a guy who's, I think, like you had said, a little bit as far as inconsistent. I mean, we've seen him play well. We've seen him, you know, not play so well as far as play in and play out. But he's a guy, like you said, is a better athlete, you know, a guy who can make plays all over the field. I don't see him declaring for the 2010 NFL draft just because I don't think his stock will be that high enough to be able to do that. But a guy who's going to be able to come back as a senior and really improve on that and probably still be a, you know, relatively second or third round draft pick in the 2011 NFL draft.
Now, on the other side of the ball, the Iowa Hawkeyes, they have one of my favorite juniors in the country, and that's left tackle Brian Bulaga. I'm still not sure if he's going to play. You know, I know he has an illness that caused him to miss the past 2 weeks. And, you know, we spoke about Eric Norwood earlier. I don't know why. Watching that bowl game last year when Iowa played South Carolina, I almost got the feeling that Bulaga turned Norwood's mind around, because, you know, he just completely shut him down. And he probably said, if this is what an NFL left tackle is, I'm going to need to come back for another year. Do you think Bulaga is kind of that next, you know, if not this year, maybe next year, but that next big-time left tackle coming out of the Big Ten, and kind of that Jake Long, Joe Thomas mold?
I definitely think so. I mean, the biggest thing is we've had some, you know, past experience with Iowa tackles there in Robert Gallery, who wasn't.
Oh, you brought up Robert Gallery. I tried to avoid Robert Gallery.
but I think, you know, okay, hey, he's not Robert Gallery. I mean, he is more of a, you know, I don't think he's to the Jake Long, you know, standpoint. I think he's more, you know, compare him to more of a Joe Thomas type player, which, you know, still is a very high draft pick, and, you know, as far as a potential, you know, first-round offensive tackle, left tackle, guy who you're going to put on that left side and who can play, you know, for 10 years and you won't have to worry about him. You know, I think he's better than Eugene Monroe and even Jason Smith, who was a second overall pick in this year's draft with the St. Louis Rams. I think he's a guy who's a very good athlete, a very good technician. He's got kind of a nasty streak and will be able to go ahead and get into those defensive ends. And he's definitely a guy that, if he does declare, he'll be, you know, the number one overall offensive tackle prospect going into the 2010 NFL draft.
All right, sounds like I'm not the only one that's very high on him. They got another junior that I like, too, probably less likely to declare. And folks, if you're listening, this is a kid I think to really watch out for, a sleeper out there for the rest of this season and next year, and that's Amari Spivey, their corner. And Iowa, what's the deal with Iowa, Justin? It seems like they always have these good corners that seem to get unnoticed. They get no love. They're always like draft sleepers. How come the Iowa constantly produces these solid cornerback prospects that never seem to get a lot of attention?
Well, I think it's the defensive system that they play into. I mean, they're not asked to be on the island and play man-to-man coverage and just really shut down a receiver. You know, they play some zone. They do play some man-to-man, but as far as mostly the predominantly zone defense there as far as the cover corners. But they're very strong. And as far as Iowa's got a great strength and conditioning program, and many Iowa guys don't leave to prepare for the NFL Combine. They don't go down to Florida or go up to California. They prepare there at Iowa with the strength and conditioning coach because of the program that they've been able to produce and get guys ready for the next level. I mean, I think that's one thing a lot of people don't really look at is, okay, where are these guys training? And those guys at Iowa stay at Iowa, and they'll train, and they'll be able to produce the guys consistently. And I think the biggest thing is once they get in that off season after – the bowl game and stuff like that, they go to work right away and start getting better at the NFL level. A lot of Iowa, alums come back and work there with the strength and conditioning coaches there at the University of Iowa, and I think that's kind of the consistency that you'll see, that we've seen with Iowa guys like Bob Sanders, different guys like that will come out there and will play well at the next level and will kind of shock some people of how well they're prepared for the next level.
All right, Josh, we have our first caller on the line. Folks, you're listening to the NFL Draft Bible's Draft Digest show. We're here on All Access Football Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Moglione. With me is NFL Draft Bible guru Justin Van Felpen, and you can read his articles on NFLDraftBible.com. He's been breaking down the top tens, going from position to position, starting at quarterback, and we're up to offensive tackle. Is that right, Justin?
Yep.
All right, caller, you're on the line. Let us know your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, my name is Alan from New Jersey. How are you doing today?
What's good. Up, Al? How's it going?
Oh, not too bad. Can I ask you a question concerning wide receivers? Is it possible?
Yeah, go ahead.
Shoot.
My dilemma I have is I'm 2-0 in this league. It's a standard league, and you start two. You can only carry four in your roster. I have Bolden, I have Driver, I have Evans, and I had dropped Eddie Royal for – that Laurent Robinson. So I wanted to find out, do you think that was a good move for me, number one, to pick up Robinson and drop Royal? Because I had Royal last year. He had Cutler. He didn't do anything with me in the standard league. Now that he doesn't have Cutler, who knows what he's going to do with Orton. That was my thinking. Again, I may be wrong. I wanted your advice on that. But also, Kevin Walter just got dropped, so I think he'll be available tomorrow in my league, who was one of the top 19 receivers in my standard league. Would he be worth picking up for somebody that I have on there or not? That was my two questions. Again, I look forward to your expert advice on the situation.
Justin, you got some advice for Big Al from Jersey?
Well, I think as far as Robinson, the guy who is going to be that number one receiver for the Rams, he had a good week last week, and I think you're going to continue to see that. They really don't have Donnie Avery, that number two guy there. They've got some, Burton, some younger guys there on the Rams roster. So I think Robinson's going to get better and better. I mean, he was a guy who they traded for him as far as Atlanta. And Eddie Royal, they're still going to go to Brandon Marshall. And as far as I think their offense is going to get a little bit better, but it's not going to be the same type of ability that Royal had last year. So I think Robinson being a number one receiver really helps over Royal, who's definitely a number two to Brandon Marshall. Walters, I don't know. I don't think Walters is going to have this type of impact that he had last year just because they're trying to get the ball more to Steve Slayton and, as far as Andre Johnson and Owen Daniels. So I think he's pretty much the fourth option there in Houston. So I think unless you don't have hardly any other receivers, I would stay away from Kevin Walters.
Okay. Yeah, because I've been going with, Antoine Bolden, Driver, and like I said, I like Evans, but the problem is, and he has that chemistry with Trent Edwards, but now the Owens is there, but again, I don't really have any guys that are. I mean, I guess Driver and Bolden are my most potential of the that I have, and depending on what Robinson does over the course of the next 8 weeks or whatever, see how consistent he is. But I guess Robinson will go how Bolger goes. Bolger goes down. Who knows how Robinson's going to go? But yeah, I don't have two solid receivers that. you know that you're good for maybe 80, 90 yards every day, every game possibly, and a touchdown, or at least maybe giving me 10 to 14, 10 to 15-point average every week. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm trying to do because I have Manning, I have Clark, I got good running backs in Smith and Sproles and D'Angelo Williams and Felix Jones. So I'm good that way, just a little bit tentative with a second receiver or when Bolden's out, you know what I mean, is where to go.
I think the thing is you got to look for those young guys, a couple young guys that, you know, Mario Manningham and Earl Bennett's two guys who are second-year receivers and both have very good quarterbacks there in Eli Manning and Jay Cutler. And I think those two guys you're going to see, you know, Earl Bennett had seven catches that first week and it didn't have as many as far as against, you know, Pittsburgh. But, you know, I think you're going to see him catch a lot of balls. And Mario Manningham, you know, as far as was very good against the Dallas secondary. So those are two guys I think you keep your eyes on if they're on the waiver wire that you could pick up that, to
Manningham,
me, are going to be better productive
up
than a Kevin Walters.
Yeah, Manningham got picked up. Earl Bennett's there. Somebody dropped him. They picked up Knox because they said Knox might be the guy to knock out Bennett now in Chicago, because I have David Hester in my PPR league as my third receiver because I only start two. I have Calvin Johnson and I have Andre Johnson there. But, yeah, somebody did pick Manningham up in my standard league already, who I tried to put in for first. Then I figured Robinson would be second. But Knox and that guy, Walker or whatever, from the Jaguars, people are kind of getting high on. But I'm not sure, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's been good. He was good at the end of last year, besides it, before he got the injury. He does have a pretty good, solid relationship with David Garrard. I think the biggest thing, you know, is to watch it because he had some injury histories at the end of last year and still, as far as had some nagging knee injuries as far as the training camp. So he's a guy who I would, you know, keep your eye on, but he's not a guy who I would go out there and pick up if you don't need a receiver right now. I think Robinson's a guy who's going to do some good things there with the Rams.
And do you think keeping Robinson on the bench now is advisable to see what he does for the next couple weeks? Because I know I got Bolden to start, and I figure I got Driver this week. But, you know, Driver scares me in a sense where Jennings had a bad week last week. Are they going to force to maybe make Jennings look good this week? Who knows? I mean, I guess what's good about Aaron Rodgers is he seems to take what they give him, and Driver's more of an under, you know, short pass type guy. Not that he can't go long, as where Jennings is more of a home run type hitter, and that's what Robinson could give me once in a while, that type of guy when I would need him. But do you think mostly Driver and Bolden are my everyday type guys, and then between Evans and Robinson, look at the matchups when one of those other two guys are out? Is that what you would suggest, do you think?
Yeah, that's what I would suggest. I think, you know, one thing with this week coming, as far as they're going to play the Rams, the Packers are playing the Rams, and the Packers, you know, as far as are going to throw the football, because, I mean, obviously the Rams want to stop, you know, the run against, you know, Ryan Grant. So I think Donald Driver's up for a big week. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to throw for over 300 yards against that Rams secondary.
All right, Al, thanks for joining us. Al took us in another direction there for a little while. Justin, nice job coming through as the, I guess you're the fantasy guru too. Who knew?
Well, you know, as far as when you watch the NFL and college football and do this for as many years as I have, I guess you got the wealth of knowledge that you can pull something from anywhere.
All right, folks, you're listening to the NFL Draft Digest Show. We got a couple minutes left, and we're going to try to break down a couple more of these college games and give you some people to watch. I think there's a couple of games here that have, you know, guys that might be competing for draft slotting, you know, guys that play the same position. So let's jump to the Cal-Oregon game, big game in the Pac-10, ABC. The winner of this game is going to look like the team to beat. They both host USC, Cal the following week, Oregon a couple weeks later, and both of them have outstanding corners. You got Saquon Thompson playing for the Cal Golden Bears, you know, had his ups and downs last week against Eric Decker, and then Walter Thurman III from Oregon, you know, another guy who's a playmaker. Both of these guys are good at, you know, have good ball skills, can pick the ball off, and they're very dangerous once they get their hands on the ball. If I had to, you know, pin you down and say, who do you prefer, who would you lean towards, Saquon or Walter Thurman III moving on to the next level?
You know, my opinion would be Walter, as far as him, you know, Walter Thomas III, he would be a guy just because of his size and his athletic ability. He's a guy who I think can come into the NFL, a cover two cornerback, be able to support the run. I think he's just that better overall type of football athlete, you know, and that's why I think he's going to be a guy who's going to get drafted. Then, you know, the other cornerback there from Cal, Saquon Thomas, and I think that the thing he lacks is size, and he's going to have to, as far as play a little bit more man-to-man and show a little bit more as far as man-to-man covered skills, and for it, and show more consistency than what he's done over the past 2 weeks.
And quickly, before we get to our two draft risers that you're going to give us in this week's College Football Insiders issue, which, if folks, if you listen, if you want to get it, if you want to get on the email list, you can email me at dan@collegefootballinsiders.com. Otherwise, check out the NFL Draft Bible site. The PDF will be up within the hour. So by the time you go to bed tonight or wake up tomorrow morning, you'll be able to download the PDF right off our website at www.nfldraftbible.com. And I kind of do a focus on a conference each week. And this week I did the SEC with the two middle linebackers going at each other, Brandon Spikes, who everybody thought was going to leave last year, on one side for the Gators, and Micah Johnson for Kentucky. And I think what's interesting about these guys is we're talking about two guys that are closer to 260 than 250, so you don't have to worry about size, and they both might be big enough to play either in a 3-4 or a 4-3 defense.
Yeah, I mean, as far as those guys are those, downhill linebackers that you're looking for when you're talking about inside and middle linebackers, guys who, as far as can plug the run, as well as go sideline to sideline. I mean, Spikes is a guy who is a phenomenal athlete, who a lot of people thought he was going to declare in last year's draft, and, he was probably going to be mid to late first round, early type second round. And I still think that's where he's going to end up when it's all said and done. He just doesn't have that Patrick Willis-type athleticism that you're looking when you're talking about a top 15 draft pick in that inside linebacker position. But I still think he, could be a Pro Bowl-type caliber linebacker. I mean, look at Ray Lewis, where he was drafted. He was drafted later, in the first round, and he's a Hall of Famer. Not saying that Brandon Spikes is, Ray Lewis, but he's a guy who reminds me a lot of that, middle linebacker, that thumper who can stop the run. And you're not going to necessarily have to take him out in third down, because he can flip his hips and get down as far as in the zone coverage and make some plays in the passing game. But he's definitely, as far as that first two, as far as downs there at the next level, he's going to be a guy who you're going to want there inside stopping the run.
All right, now, last year's draft, we saw a bunch of guys from UConn. I think a lot of people were surprised. And even with those guys moving on, they still have some players that might be in this year's draft. So who should we look out from the UConn Huskies?
We got Lindsey Witten. I mean, as far as the defensive end there, I mean, last year he had five sacks in the first two games. He racked, as far as three sacks in those two games. He's a guy who is the Dante's brother of Dante Whitner. So he's got very good bloodlines. He's a guy who, can rush the passer. He can play in the 3-4 or the 4-3. I think he's going to end up being a 3-4 outside linebacker, that hybrid pass rushing type guy who, people want to get their hands on. We've seen a lot of defenses switching over to that 3-4 here over the years with the Packers, Denver this year. Other teams, San Francisco's playing a little bit of it. The Ravens play some of it. So a lot of teams are going to that 3-4 defense just because we've seen a lot of these hybrids, there. And what he can do is really rush the passer, and I think his stock is really going up. Talking with some teams, I mean, him going into the season, he was, a fourth-round guy. Right now, a lot of teams look at him as what he's able to do. If he stays consistent, he could be a late first, early second-round pick when it's all said and done.
All right, we've got a little over a minute left. Give us another guy who's a draft riser. I know people love those stories, walk on becoming NFL prospect.
Well, you got Blair White from Michigan State. I mean, a 6'2", 200-pound receiver who's probably going to run the 4.5s, maybe low 4.4s. As far as a walk on at Michigan State, now he's got a scholarship. A guy who's a big play receiver, the number one receiver, scored 4 touchdowns already this season, caught 22 passes. And a guy who probably right now is the 15th overall senior wide receiver and really moving up. I mean, this is a guy who wasn't offered a college scholarship and now is probably going to get drafted somewhere in the third, fourth round.
Yeah, he's the number one threat there at Michigan State. And, they're 1-2, but they're as close to 3-0 for a 1-2 team as you could be. And don't forget to read Justin's work, his top 10 from position to position. You can go to NFLDraftBible.com and check that out. Justin, when's your next column out, and what position are you breaking down?
We're going interior linemen, so the guards, when we'll have that out Friday. So tomorrow we'll have that all breaking down, the top 10 offensive senior offensive guards for the 2010 NFL Draft.
All right, folks, check that out at NFLDraftBible.com. Justin, thanks a lot for joining me today, and hopefully, you know, we'll get you on next week, and we'll talk about more games.
That's right. Hopefully, talk to you later, man.
And that was Justin Van Fulpen. I'm Daniel Moglione signing off here for our first show of the Draft Digest here on NFL Draft Bible, brought to you by All Access Football Radio.